So today's message is called Destroying Darkness. We're going to get right into this right away. So if you have your Bibles, your app, your YouVersion app, whatever you use to look at the Word. Also, if you download our Seven Mountains Church app, all the notes that are on the screen are all in the app. So you can follow along that way too. I know most people follow along in the app or look up on the screen because if you're visiting with us, I take the time to actually go through the original language in the New Testament, which is the Greek, and put it in also modern language, so a lot of your versions won't read that way. I'm actually going to highlight something today that to know that, and let me put a big disclaimer on this. It's okay that we have different translations of the Bible. I actually really enjoy the Passion Translation when I just want to read just the Bible as it goes because it's a great translation, but I always feel like different translations have their purpose. However, we need to be aware that some translations do not have the correct verbiage in it, and we're actually going to see an example of that today. So that's why, again, if you're visiting with us, I take the time to go through the Greek because I think it's important that we know exactly what those words say and mean. So we're going to be in John 9, verse 1. How many of you have ever read the story of the man born blind? We're going to be talking a little bit about that today. It says, in passing by, they saw a man who had been blind from birth. The disciples asked Jesus, Master, was this man born blind because he missed the mark? Now, it's in your Bibles, it says sin, but if you ever like, what is sin? Sin is missing the mark of God. So, you know, like in this culture, in this world, we think like, oh, you know, sin is like the really bad things, like, you know, doing terrible things to children or, you know, like trafficking, you know, different things like that, doing drugs. Sin is simply missing the mark of God. God is the standard, and if you are not at the standard, you're missing the mark. That pretty much tells us all we need a Savior, amen? So they see this man, and he says, who sinned? Did this man sin? Did he miss the mark? It says, or was it because his parents sinned? Now, it was common theology at that time that if you were born with something defective or you got a disease over time or anything like that, that a lot of times people thought that that was linked to sin. Now, we have instances in the Old Testament. Now, remember that we're not under the law. We're under grace. We've been learning that in here. So the Old Testament, please do not try to get your theology about God in the Old Testament. First of all, none of you are Jews, so you were never under the Old Covenant law. The whole purpose was to bring us to the end of ourselves to see our need for Jesus. So God operated differently under the Old Covenant. For example, when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, it says that Miriam, from God, got leprosy on her forehead instantaneously. And God said in order for her to be healed, she needs to be put out of the camp for 7 days, go through the rituals of cleaning and all of that kind of stuff, and then she can return to the camp. So in the Old Testament, there was actually disease or like, you know, your crops didn't prosper or God would allow the Babylonians to come in and, you know, take over Israel. So that was a completely different covenant. So at that time, they knew because they had those stories that they believed that when things went wrong with people, it was probably a result of sin in their life. How many of you know even today that a lot of people that have problems, and some of that could be us, is usually a result of missing the mark? Amen? So there are consequences to sin, but I just want to make it very clear that God is not punishing you based on your sins today. Because if he was, then what he did to Jesus served no purpose. He punished Jesus to the fullest extent for every sin that ever has, was, or will be committed. And I'm not going back into my teaching on grace, but I also want to, you know, put something on the end of that to say that doesn't mean go out and live like the devil. If you receive grace and go out and live like the devil, I would question if you're even born again. Because grace and mercy and compassion and love does not motivate people to sin. Amen. Okay, so the disciples want to know, why is this guy like this way? And it's fine because they are disciples. And for some of you Star Wars people, they are Padawan learners. They are discipling under Jesus, and so it was proper for an apprentice to ask the rabbi questions. So that's what they're doing. They ask questions. That's how they learn. Jesus did taught, but a lot of times in their private time, they would ask Jesus questions so they could get insight from God himself that other people couldn't get. So they just want to know, who sinned that this man should be like this? Now, this is one of the, in my opinion, most mistaught verses in the Bible. Because anybody that believes that God intentionally makes people sick today will point to this verse and say, Jesus said that this man was sick because God made him that way, because he knew that Jesus would come into the earth at this time, and so he was made born blind from birth so that Jesus could come along and heal him. Now, if you... anybody who uses their brain on a regular basis, wouldn't you question that? Going, wait a second. So God made this man to be able to have no sight for all of this time, but then he sends Jesus, who Jesus is the Father's perfect will in action. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So to believe this, you have to believe that God the Father caused this man to be born blind, and then he sent his son, who is the will of God, to heal him. Listen, you're either for sickness or you're for healing. Amen? You can't be for both. Because again, if sickness from God is somehow a blessing, all of you should get on your knees tonight and pray to be sick. And if you get sick and you believe it's God's will to let you get sick, then don't try to get better. Because if it's God's will for you to be sick and you try to get better, you're getting outside of God's will. And people are like, I mean, if you really think about it, that makes sense. But there's churches all over that teach that stuff. And I'm going to show you that in the Greek, Jesus didn't say, God made him this way so that I can heal him. This is the exact Greek. So they asked the question, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, how many of you know that at some point in those people's lives, they sinned? So what is he saying? He's saying that the man born blind, he's not blind from birth because of any sin. Sin had nothing to do with it. That's what he's saying. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He then goes on to say, on the contrary, he doesn't say God made him blind. He says the purpose of his blindness is so that God's work would be made. And it's the Greek word phaneroth, which means so that God's work would be revealed, made manifest, made visible, made known in him. It doesn't say that God made him that way. But see, people read the sovereignty of God into this thing going, well, God either causes everything or allows everything. And so therefore, it must have been God's will. But again, you can't find that in our new covenant that God is either causing or allowing everything. Because again, I know for many of you who come here, I've said this a million times, but I can't say it enough. If God is causing or allowing everything, you should never pray. You should never try to save anyone. You should never do anything because it's just up to God. Right? It's just up to God. It's God's, God is sovereign. Now, I'm not saying that he's not the creator of the universe. I'm not saying that if God wanted to violate his covenant, he could snap his fingers and time and space would cease to exist. But he operates in covenant with us. And his covenant, we've already learned, is I will pardon their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Part of Jesus' mission, also you read prophesied in Isaiah, is that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And people don't want to admit that part, or they have a hard time believing in that because they're like, well, that can't mean what it means because I still see people get sick, right? So then I'm like, well, then he didn't forgive your sins. And they're like, yes, he did. I said, no, because you still sin, right? The manifestation of disease and sickness does not mean God took it away or didn't take it away. It means he made the provision for it at the cross. It's just the same thing. There's a whole world of people that are going to hell with their sins forgiven. The problem is they didn't put faith in Christ to forgive their sins. But it says that Jesus took on the sin of the world. He didn't say he just took on the sin of Christians or took on the sins of people that would one day believe. It says, here is the Lamb. This is what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And a lot of this, again, I'm not picking on other churches. I'm not saying that our church is the best. But how many of you know we should be a Bible church? We need to teach the Bible. It's not let's come up with theologies and divide camps. It's let's just let the Word of God speak for itself. So this clearly says that on the contrary, nobody sinned to cause this man to be born blind. He says the purpose of the blindness is so that God's works would be revealed, made manifest, made visible, made known in him. How many of you know that the Bible says God works all things to good for those who love him? And people always quote, God works all things for good. I'm like, that's not what it says. It says those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the purpose of darkness in the world is so that light can destroy it. That's what he's saying. This man was born blind, not because God caused it, not because he allowed it. How many of you know we just live in a fallen world? If anybody wants to talk about God caused or God allowed it, your easiest answer to those people of going, we live in a fallen world. Our food is fallen. Some of the stuff we eat isn't even real food anymore. This is why it's so important to bless your food. Our family knows every time we sit down, we're like, Lord, I don't even know if this is real food, but we bless it, we put your blessing on it, and we command this food to nourish our bodies. Now, you have to do it within reason. You can't eat at Wendy's every single meal and bless it and think that you won't gain weight. All right? But I'm saying if the intent is to eat well and do well, put the blessing of the Lord on that. So he says, the purpose of his blindness is so that God's work could be manifest. The purpose of your sickness is not from God. The purpose of your sickness is so that you could come to Seven Mountains and have people lay hands on you and you'll get well. And it doesn't have to be Seven Mountains. Just find somebody who believes in healing. But that's what he's saying. The purpose of this man's blindness. Again, nowhere does it say, my father made this man blind. But see, I don't know how many of you have heard it that way, but people read this and assume, oh, God, the Father made him blind so that Jesus, the Son, could heal him. That seems like a house divided against itself. Okay, next verse. Okay, so I'm going to show you another Greek word, and it's the word dia. It's not DEI. It's not diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, what I want to show you again is that you have to be careful, and again, I'm not coming against any translations, but this is a good, I know this is going to sound carnal, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is a good kick in the booty to you King James only people. In the old King James and the new King James, it reads, I was sent to work the works of the one having sent me. If you guys got YouVersion, you can look it up. Old King James is the word I. But actually in the Greek, it reads, it behooves, and it's the word hemas, which is the word us. Now, some people are like, well, us means the Trinity. And going, well, then why did he divide the Trinity and say that the one having sent me? So what does us mean there? Well, and specifically in that situation, whoever the disciples that were with him. So the word dia, again, some of the translation says it behooves us. This is the literal definition of it. It is our duty, what is proper, what is absolutely necessary for us. And again, that's the word us there. It's not the word I. Like I said, in all your other translations should say us. NIV says us, NASB says us. But if you have King James or Old King James, it says I. Or in your other translations, it might use the word we, which is fine because we and us are the same thing. So it says, it is our duty, what is proper, what is absolutely necessary for us to work the works of the one having sent me, referring to Jesus, while it is day. So what is he saying there? We are to work the works of God while it is day. He says, night is coming when no one has the power to work. Whenever I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, if some of you are like, well, what does he mean, day and night? Obviously, back then, they didn't have third shift jobs. I mean, night was dark. But he's using a metaphor to talk about being in this body, in this existence, in this earth realm, or what the world would call living. And when he says night is coming when no one can work, he's not just referring to his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension into heaven, because he used the word us, and he says night is coming, not night is coming when I can't work. He says night is coming when no one can work. And so what is he saying? As long as we are alive in this planet, we are to work the works of God. When night comes, meaning, and I don't even say death, because for a Christian, Jesus says, he who lives and believes in me will never die. So when you pass from this life to the next, that is what Jesus would refer to as night, because once you are in paradise, you can no longer work the works of God in this realm. Does this make sense? Okay. But I want you to see that the word dia is means it's our duty, what is proper, what is absolutely necessary. And he's about to open blind eyes. So when we see people with blind eyes, it is absolutely necessary to open those eyes. When we see sick people, it is absolutely necessary for us to get them well. And again, some of you are like, well, you're saying us, like we have power. When I say us, I'm talking about the Christ in us. I'm talking about Holy Spirit. But make no mistake, when Jesus commissioned the 12 and the 70, and by the way, the 12 and the 70 also discipled people generations all the way up until now. That's what discipleship is. It's replication. He told them to heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. Now, you do have an instance in James where it says, if anybody in the church is sick, let them come forward, and the elders of the church anoint them with oil, which is why we have people that will pray at the end of service back there, and there's oil over there. We believe in all that. We believe in the wholeness of the Bible. But when Jesus was doing his ministry on the earth, he commanded people to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. You know, it's so funny that people in the church will question today, like, I don't know if it's God's will to heal that person. I don't know if it's God's will to raise that person from the dead. And then cleansing lepers. I mean, obviously we don't have leprosy in America today. We got COVID. But all of those things, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, the last one is cast out demons. I could guarantee you that most Christians would tell you, you should not have to pray and ask God whether to cast out a demon or not. He's not going to go, well, I think it's God's will to just have that person be demon-possessed. But yet we think it might be God's will for them to be sick, it might be God's will for them to be dead, or it might be God's will for them to have leprosy. That's insane. And that's what I'm saying. We have to bring our brain to church, because there's these lofty things that we just think are just so spiritual, like God wants you to be sick to teach you a revelation. And we've said this before. I'm going to say it again because it's going to paint a really gross picture in your head. When you have the flu and you're hugging the toilet and it's coming out of both ends, what great spiritual revelation did you get? And come and share it with me. But that's what people say. Well, you know, you get sick. God wants to teach you something through all this. Yeah. The only thing, there's nothing you can learn from that. I'm trying to think of something I can learn. I learned that I don't want to be sick. Okay. So we're supposed to work the works. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus said, when I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And people are like, well, that's good for Jesus. He's the light of the world. Oh, well, let's look and see what Matthew 5:14 says. You are the light of the world. Jesus identifies as the light of the world, and he says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you're a lesser light. He doesn't say you're a less effective light. He says you are, definite article, the light. You cannot hide a city that is located on the top of a hill. Nobody lights a lamp, then covers it up. They put it high on a lampstand so it may shine for everyone in the room to see. Now, obviously, Jesus is creating a situation that, you know, if you, again, if you don't have electricity, if you had a lamp that needed to light up your living room, you don't light that and then put like a pot over it. Like what he's basically saying, what's the purpose of that? Lights are meant to shine. They put it high on a lampstand so it may shine for everyone in the room to see. Therefore, let your light shine in the presence of people so that they may see, perceive, and experience your good works. You are not to be a light so that they can see, perceive, and experience your fancy theology or your fancy Jesus talk. Jesus ministered the gospel alongside miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, are there instances in your Bible where it says that he only healed some places and that he only taught the word? Yes, but all throughout Jesus's ministry, he was casting out demons, he was healing the sick, and he was preaching the gospel. In the church today, we have reduced Jesus's ministry to simply preaching, which means we've cut out 2/3 of Jesus's ministry. You wonder why churches are closing all the time, because you have people that are going there that hear a lot of talk but don't see a lot of results. And that's why in the last days, the Antichrist is going to take this world by storm, because it says that he will have great signs and wonders and miracles. And if the church was alive and had great signs, wonders, and miracles, then when the Antichrist comes, everybody will be like, who cares what you can do, Antichrist? The church around the world has been doing this for centuries. But the bottom line is, and again, I'm not trying to, like, again, this whole glass half empty thing. I'm just giving you reality. The vast majority of churches in the area of miracle signs and wonders is dead. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven. That doesn't mean that they don't know Jesus. But this clearly says, Jesus is saying in the previous verse in John that he is the light of the world. After he makes that statement, what does he do for the blind man? He heals him. So in the context of him saying, I must work the works of God while it is, we must work the works of God while it is daylight, what is he talking about? He's talking about healing. He's talking about driving out demons. He's talking about light destroying darkness. Sickness is darkness. Being crippled is darkness. That doesn't mean that you're bad. We very clearly saw that Jesus is like, it's not that this young man is bad or his parents were bad, that's why it happened. It's just, it's a fallen world. So if Jesus, when he's referring to that he is the light of the world, now does that include the preaching of the gospel? Does that include giving people the gospel message? Absolutely it does. But brothers and sisters, I think most churches are pretty good at that, because any church you walk into is going to have singing and is going to have a message, right? But I would tell you that 90 to 95% of churches in America, I know like in Africa and that kind of stuff, like most of them are more Pentecostal churches. But in America, over 90% of the churches you're going to walk in believe that it's totally up to God whether you get healed or not, believe that God may want you to be in that condition because he's teaching you some great revelation, and they don't actively pray for sick people in the church. They don't actively pray for people to have miracles. Now, does that mean in this church that everybody's that got prayer has got healed every single time? No, and I don't have time to go into this today, why, you know, Jesus talks about unbelief or doubt or just different things that are going on. But I just want to let you know, if you go to a prayer minister back there, they have been trained and they understand that they are praying and believing that you will absolutely get healed of whatever you have. Because again, you cannot find a single scripture in the Bible, a single one, and I challenge you, and you know, look for months because you'll never find it. It's not there. That Jesus ever said, it's not my Father's will. You'll learn something through this. My timing is not now. Every person that came to Jesus, every person that came to the apostles got healed. The only instance that we have where Jesus could, and it uses the words could not heal, Jesus was limited, was in his hometown. It says he could do no mighty works, say he laid his hand on a few sick people and marveled at their unbelief. And the only other time that we see is when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon from the boy, and it says they privately asked Jesus, Jesus, why could we not cast out the demon? And he looked right at him, he said, because of the littleness of your faith. And this was after he already gave them power in Matthew chapter 10 to go out and do all of those things. And we know that they were successful at it because it says at one time they're all gathered at the end of the day and they're like, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. So apparently it's possible that you could be like 8 out of 8 demons you drove out, but then you get to the 9th one and you may be some lax in your spiritual life. You're not praying and fasting regularly, whatever the case may be, your mind's of the world. Then all of a sudden you can't cast that demon out anymore. And Jesus looked at him and said, it's because of the littleness of your faith. I didn't know all this was in the Bible. That's because most churches aren't preaching it. And please, brothers and sisters, when I say that, I'm not telling you that I'm some great thing. I'm just saying, what if we just read the Bible and did what it said? So that they may see, perceive, and experience your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, again, the world is watching. The world is watching. If the world's like, oh, there's those Christians that go into church for an hour, they sing some songs, they hear a fancy message from some book, and then they just walk out and go about their ordinary lives. But what if all Christians lived supernatural lives 24/7? What if a buzz got out that like, man, you need healing, you need a surgery, you need something going on, go to Seven Mountains and get prayed for. And again, that's not to promote Seven Mountains, that's to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're going to take people to go to the Catholic Church, because they're going to heal sick people and promote Jesus Christ. I want to get in on that. I want brothers and sisters to come together to say the world is watching. If a whole bunch of people could come to the St. Mary's Field and it gets a buzz around it, it could get, I mean, I don't know, recorded in the Plano Record at the very minimum, that tells people that God is alive and well and doing miracles today. And people are like, well, but now we're just focused on healing and not on salvation. Again, the salvation message is being preached all the time. You can turn on any television thing. You can go on YouTube. It's happening. What the church is missing is the other 2/3 of Jesus' ministry, which is driving out demons and healing sick people. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Okay, we've talked about this verse many times, but it goes along with what we're talking today. When Jesus says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, he didn't say it twice. He said it loud so that everybody would pay attention. So this is a better way to say it. I am absolutely telling you the truth. When I say, this is the words of Jesus, that anyone believing in me will do the exact same works that I have been doing. That's in the Bible. Anyone believing in me. Now, when you say believing in me, he's talking about believing in his name, which means his authority, cause, and character. Now, if you only believe in the preaching Jesus who took your sins away, then you're not going to, and not believe in the miracle-working Jesus, then this part's not going to work for you. But again, we either need to embrace all of Jesus's ministry or none of Jesus's ministry. So I'm telling you the absolute truth that if you believe me, you'll do the exact same works that I have been doing. Also, that person or he will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Now, greater doesn't mean like something Jesus didn't do, because we know that not everything that Jesus did was written down. It simply means, and I'm not saying that you could do something that we didn't read that Jesus didn't do, but I'm saying in the Greek, this is more likely referring to more. Which would make sense, because how long did Jesus have his earthly ministry? 3 years, 3.5 years. And we have our entire life. And so Jesus himself is saying that we should be doing greater in amount works because we're going to be here for our entire lives. He started his ministry at roughly around the age 30 and concluded it at 33. But again, we don't see this today. And yet, there it is, Jesus' own words. And why do we not see it? Because somebody has a story. Well, I prayed over somebody and they died. Or I prayed over something and it didn't happen. And all of that. And going, that's going to happen. But don't sit there and think that it's because God's up in heaven going, you didn't pray enough. You didn't stop eating food long enough. You didn't say enough prayers. You didn't spend enough time in your private time. Again, that is not your God. You have to acclimate your mind to his realities, his truths. Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, he didn't go, I don't know if this is going to work. I'm going to try to speak to the fig tree, but I really don't know if that's going to work. And we know he didn't have this attitude because he spoke to the fig tree. He went in, he turned the tables over. They came back out the next day and they said, Master, look at the fig tree. It's withered from the roots. And Jesus didn't go, praise my Father, it worked. You know what he said? He turned to the disciples and he said, have faith in God. And then he told them, forget this fig tree, you can move a mountain. But see, we just think that this is metaphor, that this is hyperbole, that he couldn't have really meant it. No, he literally cursed a fig tree. He literally healed people. He didn't go to the blind guy and say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That is a figure of speech, so now your eyes are open. I know you can't really see, but I have opened your spiritual eyes. He did not do that. And yet we've got people teaching that stuff all the time of going, well, we can't really heal today. All of those things, Jesus did heal, but those are just all metaphors for us today. Again, if you don't believe that, I encourage you to go to sevenmountainschurch.com, click on our healing and testimony page, and you could spend some time there. And again, I don't say that to boast of this church. I say that to boast of the Lord Jesus. Look, if it wasn't clear that he says that we'll do greater works than he did, he says, anything you ask in my authority, cause, and character, I will do. And look, he tells you why he will do it. So that the Father will be glorified in the Son. So when you heal somebody, and they're like, how did you do that? You're like, I didn't do it. Jesus did it. Well, who's Jesus? His Father is the only God that exists. I mean, we need to have some Elijah moments today, right? If you don't know that story, we're like, you know, Baal worshipers, they're up there, they're all in their priestly garments, you know, they're, come on, Baal, come down. They're cutting themselves, trying to entice Baal. And literally, if you read it in the Hebrew, Elijah says, basically, hey, maybe he's in the bathroom and can't hear you. That was a PG version. The Bible, especially the Old Testament, is not PG. So, and he's taunting them. And then, you know, he just prays to God, and he throws water over it. They build a moat around it. The thing is drenched, and fire from heaven comes down, and it consumes the altar, dries up all the water, and destroys the rock. We need to not shy away from this. It's not about doing parlor tricks or anything. How many of you know there are lots of sick people in the world that just want to be well? Why would we have to question whether God wants us to be well? If it wasn't his will for us to be well, then there'd be a bunch of sick people in paradise. Or he would have created sickness in the garden. Sickness is a distortion of health. Death is a distortion of life. It's all darkness. And as long as we are in the world, we are the light. So he says, I will do anything you ask me so that my Father will be glorified. And basically, if I'm glorified, my Father's glorified. Anything he's, and again, if we're like, did he really say that? I love it when the Bible repeats it, because he knew 2,000 years later, we'd be like, is that really true? And he goes on, anything you ask in my authority, cause, and character, I will do it. And then usually people stop there and forget the very next line. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now we could say, well, we know that in the New Testament, the ultimate commandment is love others as I have loved you. And that's true. You need to follow that too. But isn't it interesting? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, after he just got done telling you that you need to be doing his works. So actually, for you to heal the sick or to use any kind of other spiritual gift, it is a command from God himself. We must work the works of God while it is day. While there is breath in your body, we need to be doing the works of God.